Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You see, when worship takes place, perfume just fills the whole place. There's a sweet spirit, a rejuvenizing anointment that comes over all of us who are present. Thank God for that. Let me tell you something. The resurrection has already begun in your life and in my life as we receive Christ. We have that resurrection power.
The truth is, Jesus gives you all you need to live the full life He offers. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Teachable Moments, where he concludes his list of moments in the life of Christ that show you how to live today in His power and wisdom. Stay with us. That encouraging message is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you see God's grace at work through every moment of your life by sending you Dr. Young's three-message CD series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action. The fourth volume of Dr. Young's powerful Know the Bible series, Grace in Action, will help you discover how God's grace can infuse your life with power minute by minute. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, when you give your gift. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Teachable Moments, Part 2.
John, chapter number 11. Now, this is the funeral of Lazarus, the death of Lazarus. Look what we learned there. We've learned the priority of worship, right? In the first little story, Jesus involved. Now we learn the perspective of death. We get a whole new view of death. Look at it. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to him, Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom you love, Lazarus, their brother, is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. Sickness and death is for, listen, the glory of God. You say, well, how does this work? Watch it. That Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, verse 5, so that when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. So now he left. He was way up north, the other side of the Jordan, and he crossed the Jordan and he started to the south. And look what happened. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. You are going there again. And they debated whether he should go, and he went. Look at verse 14. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Can you get a hold of that one? Lazarus is dead, and Jesus says, I am glad. You see, Jesus had a perspective of death that you and I need to have. Look to the rest of the sentence. For your sake, said I am not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, doubting Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now there's Thomas. His name is Didymus, which means twin. Thomas had a twin. Can you tell me when we meet his twin in the Bible? We don't meet him. You're his twin. I'm his twin. Oh, doubting Thomas, oh, show me the print of your hand. And here Thomas says, well, if we go back there, they're going to kill you, Jesus. They're going to kill us all. Let's all dress in black clothes and go down there and die. No people like that? We get like that. And then verse 17, it says, so when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, literally a mile and a half as the crow flies. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. We're going to hear that another time or two. If only this, if only that. Even now, said Martha, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, great verse, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes in the world. But you notice something. Martha's profession of faith did not live up to her practice of faith. Is that true of us sometimes? What I profess to believe, oh, that's my faith, but my actuality and my living up to that faith doesn't match my profession of faith. So Martha said, let's go get Mary. I love this. When she said this, he went away and called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was running to him. Verse 31, then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they thought she was going to the tomb. Verse 32, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and, guess what, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Seemed like we just heard that. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Then that little verse, Jesus wept. You know, I've used that a lot of times, just saying, that's one verse I first memorized when I was a boy. Shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. I can tell you something about that verse. Perhaps in all the scripture, there is no verse, no point in the Bible where you see the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Jesus right there in those words. Did you get that? You see the humanity of Jesus and you see the divinity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus was, he saw his good buddy had died and saw the grief of his sisters, the grief of all their friends, and they were weeping, and all the Jews in that community, they were brokenhearted. Lazarus had died, and he begins to weep as a human being for compassion for all of those who are weeping and wailing. And by the way, the words of Jesus weeping here are strong words. It wasn't just a few tears. He was weeping, weeping profusely, weeping. We see his humanity. Also there, we see his divinity. Well, how do you see his divinity? You see, Jesus knew that Lazarus had died of sickness. He'd been put in the tomb, but he was already in heaven, and he'd been there about 4 days. So he was weeping for Lazarus because he knew he was going to bring him back to the earth. Did you get that? Jesus knew heaven. That's been his home. That is his home. And he knew the glory and the majesty and the creativity and the dynamism and all the magnificence of the resurrection body. And now he's weeping for Lazarus because he's got to come back and live again in the land of the dying when he'd already gone to live in the land of the living. So he was weeping as a divine God-man, knowing he had to bring Lazarus back to this earth. If anybody here thinks you'd like to bring anybody back who died in Christ, whether it was a little baby, whether it's a mature person, oh, I'd love to bring my dad back or my mother or my wife or brother or sister. Man, you don't know anything about heaven and you haven't comprehended the gospel. It'd be total selfishness. My glory, to come back and live three or four a little bit. What in the deal is that when you've got the privilege and the joy and the celebration of eternity? We see the divinity and we see the humanity of Jesus when it says, he wept. He wept. And look at the rest of it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful passage that we have here. And he said, in verse 43, and when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I believe they heard him all the way to Jerusalem. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. And therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he'd done believed, but others, next verse, they did not believe. They did not believe. Now notice something. What I did not read is they went and rolled the stone away from Lazarus' grave. I've been right down that very road. I've looked in that little bank of caves that are there where they have stones rolled in front of graves. And they rolled the stone away so what? Lazarus could get out, right? He came out bounding. They unbound him and Jesus says, let him go. Now notice with Jesus, in his resurrection, they roll the stone away not to get him out. They roll the stone away to show everybody he'd already been resurrected and he'd gone out with his resurrected body, which is not limited by physics. What a difference. You see, Lazarus was resuscitated. He had his old body back when he came back to life, and one day he died. Jesus, he was resurrected like we'll be resurrected and have our new body and it'll be prepared and be built for eternity. What a difference. Let me tell you something. It says Jesus loved Lazarus. Everybody who Jesus loves and everybody who loves Jesus, guess what? They're going to die. Shock, shock, shock. Write that down. Pastor said everybody's going to die. That's what we learned in church today. And the when and the how and the where and the in between, we don't know, but thank God he's in charge of that. And we need to get a new perspective of death that we get here with the resuscitation, and we could say in one sense, the resurrection of Lazarus. Do you think that we'll be resurrected after we die if we're in Christ? Let me tell you something. The resurrection has already begun in your life and in my life as we've received Christ. We have that resurrection power. And therefore, we have a new perspective of death. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. And the clear word that Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection of life. You don't die in Christ, you live forever. And then the last little vignette that's here is so good. It's still the Gospel of John, it's the 12th chapter. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. That surprised anybody? Boy, if there were ever a left-brained person, that was Martha. But Lazarus was one of those seated at the table with him. Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I love that verse. I love that story. Mark tells us they were in the house of Simon. Simon, the leper, as he's identified, was in all probability the brother of Lazarus and the father of Mary and Martha. Now they're in his house. And boy, that would be a table, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you like to have been seated there? Lazarus telling you about heaven. I was there 4 days. Let me tell you something, folks. And yet Simon saying, boy, I had leprosy and boy, my limbs were gone and now they came back and the scales were... Let me tell you about that, folks. You have Mary and Martha, you have Jesus. Boy, what a banquet, what a moment there. And then in the middle of that, Mary goes out and she takes a box. It has pure nard in it. And that was a perfume that they would find only in the mountains of the Himalayas. That's in India. And they would go and take this nard, and it was a high, high price perfume, a liquid that they would sell all over the Middle East. Very, very expensive. And she took that perfume out, and she, at the feet of Jesus, began to anoint the feet of Jesus, and he took her hair down. In that day, a woman's hair was a mark of her glory, and she dried his feet with her hair, with the pure perfume that was there, and drying his feet in an act of worship. What was she doing? The Bible tells us that she was preparing for his death. She didn't save all these ointments as they did, as they would anoint a body when a body would die in that day. She gave it to him as an act of worship, everything she had, the best that she had, worth probably $3,500. It would be the equivalent of what someone would make for a year of working. $3,500+. She poured all of it out on his feet, about 12 ounces, we would imagine. And then we see taking her hair, drying his feet with her tears. What did Mary know that most of them had already missed? 4 days later, Jesus would be crucified. 3 days later, he would be resurrected from the dead. She gave to him while he was living because she saw that he would soon die. You say, well, how did she know that? How did the apostles? She spent a lot of time at the feet of Jesus. That's how she knew it. That's how she knew it. And then that wonderful phrase, the room was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. And wherever she went in her hair, the room was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. Oh, I've been in worship right here. We get through music there, Wayne, and someone would sing. We'd have a presentation, and I smell the fragrance of worship right in this place. I've seen families come down this aisle and receive Christ and have a brand new relationship between father and mother and children. And you could just take a deep breath. You could smell the worship, the fragrance, the beauty of perfume. You see, when worship takes place, perfume just fills the whole place. There's a sweet spirit, a rejuvenizing anointment that comes over all of us who are present. Thank God for that. The fragrance that comes from that. Years ago, I was in the Orange Bowl, and Billy Graham was speaking, packed out, and he made this statement the first time I'd ever heard it. He said, "You're not ready to live until you're ready to die." He was quoting a philosopher. I didn't know it, but that's what he said. And that's so profound. Nobody here is ready to live until you're ready to die. And we have to go to our own funeral here. So we will have a funeral when we die. There will be one of celebration. Jesus died, went into the tomb for our sins. Right? Right? That's the same reason that we die and we'll go into the tomb for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. We died for our sins. But the difference is when Jesus went into that tomb, he did not have any sin. And therefore, that sinless one who paid the price for your sin and mine on the cross, when he went in that tomb, there was Easter and there was a resurrection, a new life. And therefore, we too who are in Christ, we are a part of that Easter parade and that resurrection moment. There will come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when the heavens will part and Jesus will part the heavens, and he will come accompanied by archangels. He'll come and there'll be the sound of the trumpets, and he will come. There will be shouting and praise. The dead in Christ will be raised. Those who are alive will be caught up with him in the air. Those who are dead will be coming with him. And in the shout, he will begin to call names. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they know me. And when I call, they come. And in that shouting, they will be named, called Mary, Alice, Bill, Tom, Joe, Edwin. Will your name be called? Will your name be called? That's the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus will call those names. And if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will enjoy and live with him forever and forever on a new heaven and a new earth that we can't even imagine the fragrance of that life. Said simply, for the roll is called up yonder. Will your name and my name be on that roll? If so,
you've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Sweet fragrance forever and forever and forever. And because he lives, we are so confident that we too shall live.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you said today that if you've received Christ, then the resurrection has already begun in your life. Can you explain what that means for someone personally?
Absolutely. In other words, we have in our lives the power that the Father used to resurrect Jesus from the dead. Now, is that powerful or what? Absolutely, but we have to receive that power, which is given to us in Christ. But my challenge and your challenge is to use that power to live a life of freedom and forgiveness, a resurrected life. That's the challenge that we are to live. Take the power and use it. One thing to have power, if you don't use it, it doesn't do any good. Use the resurrection power we have received when we receive Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we'd love to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift of support. This three-message resource invites you to experience God's grace at work through every moment of your life, even the messy ones. Struggling with doubt? God gives grace to believe. Feeling worthless and unseen? He gives grace to thrive in your spiritual gifting. Burdened for others? He gives grace to share his good news with boldness. Drawn from the New Testament examples of Thomas, Stephen, and Timothy, this series will encourage you that no matter how messy or mundane life gets, God is there with you, for you, giving grace for what you need. So call now to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares a powerful Easter message to encourage you this season. You won't want to miss it.